Now we'll start over. Matthew chapter 15. Jesus, as usual, was being challenged by a bunch of religious people. Typically, the leaders in the church, the religious authorities, didn't like the way Jesus was doing things. They thought he was a little bit out of bounds, and they'd start to challenge him. They'd ask questions and try to trip him up. In Matthew chapter 15, the scribes and Pharisees come to Jesus and say, "Well, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." So here's another one of these challenges, right? And Jesus goes off on a long answer. The first thing he does is issue a counter challenge and ask them why they transgress the tradition by trying to find ways out and around the traditions. But I'm going to skip right on over that and come down to verse 10 where Jesus says, or where the scripture says this. "When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles the man.'" And his disciples at that point, there's a conversation that goes on the side. But it comes down to verse 15 when Peter, who usually says pretty much what he thinks, Peter says, "Explain this parable to us." Jesus, of course, says, "Are you all still also without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated?" But here's where it gets good, folks. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Okay? So the people that were challenging Jesus were looking at outward observance. They were looking at the tradition. They were looking at whether you come in dressed decently to the service on Sunday morning, whether you stand up when they say stand up, sit down when they say sit down, and drop something in the plate when it goes by. You know, they were looking at those kind of things. They weren't looking on the inside. And if you remember, God has got a track record of looking at what's on the inside of a person and not what's on the outside. Do you remember when the prophet came to anoint the new king? And the first king that was anointed was Saul, and Saul was a head taller than everybody else, a good-looking fella. Big, strong, muscular, looks like a king. Got to be a good one. How'd that work out? This was a man that the people would have chosen. So when the time comes to replace Saul, God sends the prophet to the house of Jesse, and the first impression that the prophet has when the oldest son is brought forth, "Well, here's a fine strapping young man. He looks good." God said, "Not him." God proceeds to continue to say, "Not him," until said, "Don't you have any other sons?" "Well, you know, the kid's out in the field. Go get him." Because God looked at what was on the inside of the man and not what was on the outside. So if the premise that Jesus poses here is that it's what comes out of the heart that defiles you, then also doesn't it follow that what is in the heart is what justifies you, is what proves the condition of your soul? So whatever's in the heart is what is important. How many of you saw a post I made on Facebook about magic talismans yesterday? I'm going to share that in case those of you who have not heard it, because that's the kind of direction I'm going today. I saw an advertisement for jewelry with, quote, "the entire Bible micro-engraved on every piece," end quote. And the testimonial from an actor playing a customer said that it made her feel at peace and grounded. Well, the Word of God is not a talisman or a charm to be worn. It's not a magical shield against the enemy. It's a toolbox full of wisdom and power, but only when it's inside a person. This is a difference between the Old and New Covenants. The Word of God on tablets of stone, or the Word of God on hearts of flesh. On the outside, the Word is restricting and alien to mankind. But on the inside, the Word brings liberty in Christ and frees mankind to live a godly life. Do not be fooled. If the Word is not possessed on the inside, which is only possible for born-again, blood-bought, Spirit-indwelt believers in Jesus, it's powerless. On the outside, it's a book. On the inside, it's abundant life. So the question is not whether you wear a cross. The question is not whether you have an ichthus on your back bumper. The question is not what kind of witness wear t-shirts you may wear to proclaim some religious slogan or even quote a scripture. None of that, although it's good, it's a testimony, but none of that saves you. You can wear a crucifix, you can wear a cross, you can wear a St. Christopher's medal, you can wear whatever you want to. It's a piece of jewelry, and that's all it is. It doesn't reveal necessarily what's on the inside. Because how many times have you seen some grunge rock band member with a cross around their neck? Someone that probably wouldn't know Jesus if he walked up and slapped him. It doesn't matter what you wear. What matters is who you are. And the only place to find out who you are is to look in your heart. I'm going to give you a homework challenge. Go home, get a concordance, or Bible Gateway is really good for this, and search in your heart and read all of those things. I'm going to share some of them with you this morning. I'm going to start back at the very beginning. And as we learned in a musical, that's a very fine place to start. Actually, I'm not going to start all the way at the beginning. I'm going to start, well, let's see here. I got my stuff out of order. Excuse me. There it is. Genesis chapter 20, verse 6. There is a situation where the people of God have gone into a foreign country, and in order to protect himself, he says, "My wife is my sister," which is actually true, but it's not the whole story. So Abimelech has a dream, and God says to him in a dream, "Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart." Because, you know, he withheld from making improper advances. You know, so in the integrity of his heart. This was a pagan. This was a foreigner. This was not a worshiper of Yahweh. This is a powerful man in worldly sense. But yet, something in him says, you know what? I need to keep my distance here. There's something not quite right about this picture. And out of the integrity of his heart, he withheld from doing something that was improper. Let's go to the Old Testament law, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17, where the Word of God says, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart." So apparently, these bad emotions, these bad feelings, this disrespect for somebody else originates in your heart. Numbers 15:39, speaking of the garments that the Israelites were supposed to wear, and of course the tallit, the prayer shawl, and the corners of his garment, there was supposed to be a tzitzit, there was supposed to be a tassel, and in that tassel was a blue thread to remind people of God. And Numbers 15:39 says this, "And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined." So these urges to do the ungodly come from the heart. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. Therefore know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord Himself is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is no other. You recognize God in your heart. Have you seen an outside, other than the tassel, is there an outside observance anywhere? And the only thing the tassel's supposed to do is remind you of what's in your heart. Okay? Oh, by the way, that's what that jewelry is supposed to do, too, and the bumper stickers and the witness wear. But you see, that was all stuff on the outside, and the prophets begin to show us that it's supposed to transition to the inside, even the legal observances. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 18 says, "And they'll go there, and they'll take away all its detestable things and the abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take out the stony heart of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and they will be my people, and I'll be their God." It's a change in the heart. It's putting aside that man-centered, greedy, fleshly, animalistic aspect and replacing it with that which is godly. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27, "Then I'll sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you to walk in my statutes, that you'll keep my judgments and do them." See a pattern going on here? See, all the outward observances get you nothing. One of the biggest complaints that Jesus had against the religious elite of his day is they were big on the outward observances. You've got to pay your tithe. You've got to make the sacrifices. You've got to keep the Torah perfectly. You've got, you know, we're judging you on what we can see. But you see, what they couldn't see was what's in the heart of a man. They couldn't see that. And therefore, the only thing they could judge on is what they could see. You know, it's like, you know, they can't access the evidence that they truly need, because they were operating in the flesh. So they couldn't judge another person's heart. You know what? Operating in the spirit today, unless God gives you a spirit of discernment in any given situation, you can't judge what's in somebody else's heart either. Don't know about you, have a hard enough time judging what's in mine sometimes. Matter of fact, I think the Bible reflects that. A man doesn't know what's in his own heart. And sometimes, you've all had this experience, right? You're in the middle of a stressful situation and something comes out of your mouth. You say, "Where did that come from? I thought I dealt with that 10 years ago. What in the world?" That's not a very godly thing to say. You know what that is, by the way? That's the process of cleansing your heart. Sometimes God allows all that junk to come to the surface. Say, "You know what? There's an infection there. I need to fix that. I need to cut that out of here. I didn't know that was hiding back there. I better clean that out." Get the antiseptic, Holy Spirit antiseptic. Back up a little. Deuteronomy 6:6. "The words I command you this day shall be in your heart." Deuteronomy 11, "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul." And it goes on to give you another outward observance. "Bind them on your hand, and they'll be as a frontlet between your eyes." You've seen the old Orthodox Jewish people with phylacteries. They'll have a box that's got a scripture on their hand. You know what? That doesn't make them holy. It means they got a scrap of a scroll in a leather box strapped to their hand. And I have another one right here. Doesn't get in your head. It doesn't soak through by osmosis. You know, I've heard of people that say they'll put the Bible under their pillow at night. All that does is make your pillow lumpy. It's not going anywhere. You can lay it on your chest. It ain't going to bleed into your heart. You got to get in there. You got to put it on the inside. It doesn't matter what you put on the outside. You can paint yourself purple. It doesn't change what's on the inside. You can do all the religious observances you want to. You can wear the phylacteries. You can wear the tassels. You can hang a cross that big around your neck and try to walk around. It doesn't matter. You know, that's what I got to, that's so incensed me when I saw that advertisement. Somebody's going to think somewhere that because I've got a necklace that's about 3/4 of an inch square and micro engraved on it is the complete text of the Bible. Boy, it's got to be pretty small, doesn't it? You can't read it. You can't possess it in any way other than as an object. What good is it? It might be a reminder. It might cause you to think, well, yes, you know, I do have the Word of God in me, but if you haven't got the book open and read it and possessed it and got the Word in there, it's not in there. It's just hanging on a chain around your neck. It's not going to do you a bit of good. John chapter 7. Let's get some New Testament in here. John 7, 37 through 39. Jesus is preaching to the people. On that last, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." He spoke this concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. So, where does the influence of God come from in a man? God puts it in, it's on the inside, and it flows out. And I guarantee you the truth of God coming out of your mouth will do a whole lot more good than the truth of God printed on your t-shirt will. The one printed on your t-shirt may get somebody to ask a question. The cross around your neck may get somebody to ask a question. It may give you comfort to think about, okay, yes, I do have a relationship with God. But it's not a substitute. None of this outward stuff is a substitute. You can be here an hour early. Every time the doors of this church house are open, and that's well and good. That in and of itself ain't going to get you to heaven. It's not going to change your life. It's not going to cause you to be saved, delivered, and healed. Only what happens on the inside, not the outward observance. By the way, I highly recommend you come. I'm not discouraging you from coming to church. I'm encouraging you because you know what? If there's a change on the inside, there's going to be some want to on the inside too. And part of the want to is going to be in the presence of God and in the presence of the people who are also in the presence of God. That fellowship, that koinonia, that ability to come together and strengthen each other and encourage each other is so important. And so many people have left that behind these last 3 years. They're afraid to come out because I might catch a disease. Or they've gotten so comfortable at home that they think that watching something on the internet or the TV is a substitute for fellowship with the people of God, and it's not. And the devastating thing about it is a lot of these people that are staying home are the ones that are young families that have small children that need to be introduced to God, that need to develop a faith history of coming together with the people of God so that they can have this anticipation and this understanding of how it's strengthening to be in the presence of the people of God, but instead they get to sit at home and play with their tablet or watch something on the television. And they're not getting exposed to something that can truly transform their lives. And they'll grow up not knowing that there's another option, that there's another way, that there's a place where you can be plugged in to something that's bigger than yourself. couple other things here. Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira, remember them? There were a couple of people that were associated with the church, and they saw a man get high praise for selling a piece of property that he owned and giving all the proceeds to the work of the church. And they thought they would like to have those accolades too, and they had some surplus property, but they didn't want to get rid of all the money. And they could well have come in and said, yes, we sold our property and we're giving half of it to the church. And that would have been fine. But they conspired in their hearts to lie to the body of believers. Oh, yeah, we only sold it for that price. Didn't tell you about the part we're keeping. And that was their problem. They had conspired in their hearts to figure out how they could both keep the proceeds and gain the accolades of the church. Well, the Holy Spirit called them out on it. But here in Acts 5 says this, speaking of the property, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God. So, if it's negative, it comes out of your heart. If it's positive, it comes out of your heart. The heart is not, it's something that reveals your condition. What naturally flows from your heart reveals your condition. If you flash angry, there's anger in your heart. If you're all the time hurt and bitter and disappointed, that is in your heart. If you have that joy, 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 joy down in your heart, the joy, joy, joy is going to well out of you. You see, the heart reveals what comes out of your mouth, what comes out of in your attitude reveals what's in your heart. And is your heart full of Jesus or is the heart full of you? Is the heart full of the world or the Word? It'll always show up. Because, you know, you want to make a change in your life, right? You feel the Holy Spirit drawing you toward God. And we always want to, when we lead someone to the Lord, we want to pull out Romans 10, 9, and 10. Which Paul wrote to tell the Romans what the process is. Well, Romans 10, 9 says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Anything life-changing happens in the heart. So what I'm saying this morning is this. Don't trust a piece of jewelry. Don't trust putting the Bible under your pillow or on your chest at night. Don't trust, well, you know, I'm doing all these things to, you know, I'm showing up at all these events. I come out every Tuesday and hand out a box of food. You know what? That's a good thing to do. But if Jesus said in your heart, it ain't going to save you. It's not going to cause a lasting change in your life. You can knock the church house doors down every time the doors open. You know, kids come in and just, I got to just bust in here and I got to be first. And I got to sit front row center. I got to sing louder and everybody sings and I got to amen more than everybody amens. That's outward. What's going on the inside? So don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Change happens on the inside. God dwells on the inside. All the observances in the world cannot save you. All of the witnessware in the world cannot save you. Because you do all the right things does not save you. The only thing that saves a man is the indwelling presence of God in your heart. So it's not what's on the outside. What's on the outside needs to reflect what's on the inside. Jesus said that, right? The living water will flow out of you. The righteous actions will flow out of you. The godly words will flow out of you. The compassion and concern and care for other people will flow out of you. You can force yourself into any box you want to force yourself into, but if it's from the outside in, it can't work. It never could. That's why the old covenant was flawed, because the law was out there and the flesh was in here. And that flesh got stony and hard because it was hard to try to force yourself to fit the box. But once God comes on the inside, once the presence of the Lord, once the Spirit of God is within you, then your want to start to change. And instead of wanting to do evil, you will want to do the things that are righteous and holy. And yeah, it's a process. Sometimes it doesn't change all at once. But the more you yield to the leading of the Spirit, the deeper the change will become. And then we can reflect Jesus into the world around us. Amen? Stand with me if you would. I'm going to issue an invitation this morning, and the invitation is this. I want each of us to take a look at ourselves and determine, are we working from the outside in, or are we working from the inside out? Are we trying to force ourselves into the box of the Torah and conform to those behaviors which people think we should do? Or are we allowing it to flow from the presence of God which is inside us? And if you find out that you've been forcing it, you need to hit these altars. You need to ask God to begin to reveal to you that the true change comes from the inside and not from the outside. That the true change that you want and so desperately need, whether you recognize it or not, only happens when you yield to Him. You can't force it. You can't make it happen. The t-shirt won't do it. The necklace won't do it. The observances of outward rituals won't do it. You know what? You can read the Bible for an hour every day, and if you're not reading it to learn from God, if you're doing it as a ritualistic rite, odds are you're not going to get a whole lot out of it. What's on the inside? God looks at the heart. We need to look at our own heart. Altars are open. If you need specific prayer for something, you can come to me.